podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run. Hi, this is Chris, and you are listening to the 36th edition of the Run, Run, Live podcast. Welcome. If you're a new listener, welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're a returning listener, then thank you for hanging in there. And don't be afraid to shoot me an email. You can hit me at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com about what you'd like more of or less of in the show. So, I know someone's listening. Well, I don't really know if you're listening, but I know you're downloading it because I just had to increase the bandwidth with my hosting provider again. So you folks are costing me money. Pretty soon it'll be like a car payment. But that's okay. I have a plan. I'm going to take the new running stories that I've written since I published my first book, and I'm going to put them into an e-book for you to buy. And that's all cover the cost of the podcast. Brilliant, right? So, here's the contest. What should be the name of the ebook? My first book was The Midpacker's Lament, so I was kind of thinking that Son of the Midpack, or Revenge of the Midpack, or The Midpack Strikes Back. Sort of a Star Wars theme there, huh? So send me your thoughts, or leave me a message. This is a running theme podcast, but I can get almost anyone to talk to me. So if there's someone you're interested in hearing, just let me know. I also Twitter a bit under the username CYKT Russell, RUSSELL, two S's, two L's, if you want to follow me or you want me to follow you. So send me an invite. Today, I interview John Gordon, who's a fairly famous guy. He wrote a book called The Energy Bus, which I really love. He's not a runner per se, but I think his theories and his points on the effects of positive energy on athletes is highly appropriate. So I also think his message is particularly good to hear these days when we're just swamped with negative messaging and hounded by crisis after crisis in the news. So I think it's a good thing for you to listen to today. So, you know, I think of myself as a fairly positive guy, and, you know, part of that is from my running. Running makes me a positive guy. It's like my happy drug. But you have to work at being positive, and John's life calling is the work of helping people become successful through cognitive positive thought and action. So I thought it was appropriate. Quick update on my running for this week. I ran a 5K race on Sunday, and I sent some audio from that to Kevin at the Extra Mile podcast. I'm going to keep doing that. My run casting stuff I send to Kevin. I signed up for the Manchester City Marathon in New Hampshire for the coming Sunday, so I've been doing an active taper for the last couple of weeks. I took Monday off, ran easy Tuesday, did a set of hill charges on Wednesday, and did a slow headlamp run last night with the club and the dog in the woods, following Anthony around, and I'll probably go out for a short run today, and then I won't do anything tomorrow, Saturday, and then I'll do my race on Sunday. Typically on Saturday, I just go for a long walk to shake out the nerves before a Sunday marathon. So, you know, you may ask, what's an active taper? But this is a good question. Thank you for asking. When you're preparing to run a marathon, you want to take it easy the 2 to 3 weeks leading into it. That's your taper, right? But you don't want to take it too easy. Because if you've trained, then you're not going to hurt yourself by maintaining, you know, 60% of your mileage and throwing in some race-specific workouts. Now, for me, if you've been listening, you know I've been doing a lot of long, slow running over the summer for the 50-miler I ran about a month ago. You know, I know that because I want to run this marathon at a faster pace, and I know it's a hilly marathon, so what do I do for that? So I did a hard tempo workout called a YASO test last week to gauge my fitness level and to get my legs thinking about running at a faster pace. to target this marathon. Again, it's a hard workout, but not so hard to fatigue you overly for your race. And then this week I did a small set of high-intensity hill charges to get my legs thinking about the hills in this race, right? These are both good workouts, but not real hard, not hard enough to seriously fatigue me. And that's your active taper, right? Using race-specific workouts to tune your body to the race you're going to run. The wrong thing to do, and I know this because I've done it, is to throw too many miles in or totally drop off your effort in your miles. You can't build more fitness in your taper because you basically have what you're going to have at this point. But you can build some specific muscle memory for the event you're going to run. So enjoy the interview with John and wish me luck in my race this weekend. And don't forget to set your clocks back if you're making the time change this weekend, which a lot of people in the U.S. are. And I'll see you out there and on with the show.
And now for the equipment check.
Well, folks, with the cold weather coming in, I think it's time we had to talk about tights. Let's talk about tights. You know, first of all, real men wear tights. It's, you know, it's starting to get cold, you gotta dress for it. Now, I'll throw in my disclaimer, which is different people have different metabolisms, so what works for me won't necessarily work for you. I run races through December, January, and February. At every one of these races, even if it's 0 degrees Fahrenheit, someone is guaranteed to be running in shorts and a singlet. This is one local old guy with a beard like Santa who runs shirtless all winter long. We'll be at a race, it'll be 0 degrees out, and he'll have no shirt on. And, you know, so it's whatever works for you. You know, when it gets cold, I wear tights. I don't look good in tights. And tell you the truth, when I first started running, I resisted buying tights because growing up in the 70s and the 80s, I was not really comfortable being seen in tights. So when I first started running, I just wore my old cotton sweatpants. And if it got really cold, I'd even pull on some flannel long johns, long underwear. This is actually okay if you're only going to be out for 30, 40 minutes. You can wear whatever you want. But if you start putting in the miles in the cold weather or racing in cold weather, the sweats don't cut it. They get wet. They hold the water. They'll get heavy. They'll get chilly. They'll get cold. They'll get nasty. They'll chafe. It's just not good. So if you live up here, our hometown race is the Boston Marathon. That means we have to race and we have to run, do our long runs through the worst and the coldest part of the winter. So when I started getting serious about running, I had to get some winter tights. And just like everything else, I think my first pair of tights was some thin nylon things that I got off the bargain rack somewhere. And then I stepped up and got a pair of thick running tights, winter running tights from Roadrunner Sports. Remind me to call them and ask for some sponsorship because I use their name a lot. But they changed my life. They made running in the sub-zero weather comfortable and fun, so I recommend tights. Now I usually have two pairs of tights, a thin pair and a thick pair. And the thin ones are for like between 20 degrees Fahrenheit and 40 degrees Fahrenheit. And the thick ones are when the mercury drops below 20 degrees Fahrenheit. So that's when I wear the tights. I have friends who wear the loose tights. I wear the tight tights, but, you know, loose tights are just silly. You have to be careful on the length. I find that a lot of times I cut them pretty short, and I end up freezing my ankles off when I wear the shorty socks. Most tights also don't have a liner, so you're going to need to wear something underneath. I bought some running under gear that my kids refer to as my man thongs. So kids are great, aren't they? So tights are great. Buy a pair. You'll keep your joints warm. You'll feel great. The running tights will be made from a wicking material that keeps you from getting wet and keeps you from staying wet. And that'll keep you warm. And plus, you know, they feel kind of sexy. And you can wear them underneath your other stuff for winter activity like skiing or snowboarding or whatever you do outside in the wintertime. You can wear your tights as a base layer because they wick and they'll keep you warm. All right? So get some tights.
And now for our featured interview.
There we go. We're back.
All right.
All right. So anyhow, I got John Gordon here, the energy bus guy. You got a new book out, too. We'll talk about that. But I got to tell you, the Energy Bus is one of my favorite little books.
Oh, thank you.
It's a quick read. I use it like a substitute for antidepressant pills. You know, anytime I'm feeling really down on myself, I read the Energy Bus and I get back
it.
On top of it again.
A little shot of positive energy, right?
Exactly. It's like a little positive energy pill. Like we were talking about, this is kind of a side note for me, given that this is a running podcast, right? But I truly believe in the connection between, you know, positive energy and the power of positive energy towards athletic events. And I think you work with one of the football teams, right? Like the Jaguars or somebody?
Yes. Well, I've seen it firsthand. You're right on the money with that. I worked with the Jaguars last year. Jack Del Rio read the Energy Bus, gave a copy to all his players and coaches, and then from there had me speak to the team in August and preseason. And it was amazing how these players read the book, but that they internalized the message. And then they used this message to cultivate their own positive energy, to stay positive throughout the season. And so often the difference between success and failure, whether it's business or athletic performance, is belief. Do we believe we can? Are we going to stay positive in the face of adversity and challenges and obstacles? And these guys chose to do that. And throughout the year, they kept on saying, hey, we're on the bus. And there was a couple articles in the paper, which were nice to see that these guys stayed positive. Now, this year, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to work with the team. But what did Jack Del Rio said just yesterday on the radio? He said, we're going to get back to positive energy.
Well, they're doing okay this year, too.
Not really, no. They're 3-4 or 2-3.
Oh, are they?
Yeah,
okay.
They're actually not doing well at all. And they just don't seem to have that same energy. Now, I worked with the Falcons this year, and the defensive coordinator of the Jaguars became the head coach of the Falcons.
Oh,
so he
great.
Called me up and said, hey, will you do what you did for the Jaguars with us? So I went up there, spoke to the team. They all read the book. All the coaches read the book. They also read my new book, The No Complaining Rule. The coaches did. They didn't. The players didn't. And I spoke to the team and just heard from, you know, Coach Smith the other day, and he said, you know, their spirit, their positive energy is great this year. They've already won as many games this year in the first quarter of the season than they had all last year. And
yeah.
So he said, I've got to change the culture here, John. I've got to change the mindset. And he said, you know, that's the key. And I said, you're right, Coach, because, you know, culture drives behavior, and behavior drives habits. So it starts with that positive energy. Now, I got to just be upfront. I didn't do any of this. I'm a tool, and the Energy Bus is just a tool that leaders can use to do what they need to do. I admire these kind of leaders who are able to take the tools that I create and utilize them. They're the ones who are doing it, not me. I just provide the tools. But it does show you that when a leader commits to positive energy and they commit and engage themselves in the process, and a person or an athlete decides to make this a part of their life and their mantra, it has an amazing effect on our life. You know why? Because we don't live our life based on reality, but rather our perception of reality.
Sure.
And this perception is determined by the story we tell ourselves. And back to athletic performance. So one of the things I talk about in my business talks is I say, when do most marathon runners quit the marathon? At what mile? And a lot of people say, oh, the first mile or the last mile. And I'll say, no, actually the second least amount of people quit in the last mile, believe it or not. Isn't that amazing?
Right.
The last
right.
mile. But think about it. They should be most physically tired and drained. Your
right.
body should be the most exhausted.
No, nope. So if you can see ahead. The finish line, you can finish.
There you go. You see the finish line. So that shows us the power of our mind. It shows us the power of our mental attitude. That one example explains it all. And so you keep on driving towards your destination, towards the finish line, because you see it. And so
right.
most people do quit in the 20th mile, and that is where they get mentally weak. That is where they lose their positive energy. That is where they lose their energy. And again, they're physically tired. Now they're mentally drained, and they just give up. So
yeah, there's speaking from the experience of a few dozen marathons, there's a wasteland between like mile 20 and mile 24,
yeah.
where you're just not close enough to the finish. It seems so far away. And you need to develop a set of mental tools to get through that. And part of it is the ability to understand, or cognitively, when your brain is telling you, is sending you these negative signals.
Yes.
To say, no, okay, we're not going to think about that. We're going to think about this.
That's good.
Right? And it's all simple stuff like mantras and, you know, doing milestones on the course and things like that. But yeah, I mean, the connection between the positive energy, the positive thinking, and athletics is so cool to watch, because you'll see teams, even when I coach the kids, you know, in soccer, they get down by two goals, they give up, right?
That's right.
But then you'll see other teams like, you know, my friends, the New England Patriots, where they could be down by anything and they're still putting the same performance on, right?
That's right. And You know, John Wooden, the legendary UCLA basketball coach, he's one of my heroes, and he never focused on winning. He never focused on outcome. He always focused on the process. And if you focus on the process and doing your best every day and continuing improvement and trying to improve every day, what happens is you eventually do amazing and you win a lot. So ironically, by not focusing on the outcome and focusing on the process, you commit more, you create more success. When I was talking to the Falcons coach, Mike Smith, I said, past success, coach, does not determine future success. He's like, yeah. I go, I agree 100%. It's like,
exactly.
you can have past success, but that's not going to determine if you win the next game. Winning the next game is determined by how you practice that week, how you perform, how you execute, and how you focus on the small things. You know, Chuck Knoll said, champions do ordinary things better than everyone else. So it's the same thing with running. You got to do the little things every day.
Exactly.
And focus on improving every day. Strive to be your best. Don't compare your bus to any other buses. Just drive your bus. And if you do that, you're going to improve.
So I got to ask you, what do you do for your fitness?
For my fitness? Well, this morning I ran.
So did you?
Yeah, I don't, but I'm not a huge runner. I don't have the body type for a runner. I'm, you know, I look like a running back. You know,
yeah.
5'9" and was made to run people over. But I walk a lot, believe it or not. Every day I walk, and now I've incorporated running more into my routine, where I'll walk for like 10 minutes, run for 10, walk for 10, run for 10. So I get about 30 minutes of running, but not all straight. So I can never really run a marathon. It's, my body's not made for it, and I also get a lot of knee injuries when I do that. So I know it works for me, and that's what I do. And I also work out, do a ton of push-ups, sit-ups, and work a lot of chin-ups and dips.
So you're working on your core.
I'm a Herschel Walker routine kind of guy.
Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting. I have a new book coming out in May, and it's called Training Camp. And I'm really excited for this to come out, because it's about what the best do better than everyone else. And it's great for runners, it's great for athletes, and it's great for business people. And it's utilizing a training camp sports setting to tell a story of how to strive for excellence. And
interesting.
To me, that's what it's all about, striving for excellence.
So how does that work? What's the metaphor?
What's the metaphor? It's going to be a young football player, undrafted rookie, trying to make it in the NFL. And I got the idea when I was leaving the Falcons training camp, and I thought, what makes, you know, one guy better than the other? And I thought about Tiger Woods, and I thought about these runners who, you know, who outperformed the others. I thought about the New York Giants and how they beat the Patriots. I'm sorry about that, but I thought about, you know, these examples, or how a top salesperson has the same skills and yet is able to outperform everyone. So what's the difference? And I started interviewing a lot of people. I interviewed Jeff Gordon, the race car driver, Pete Carroll, coach of USC, interviewed him. Interviewed Danny Gans, the comedian. Interviewed a lot of top salespeople in various companies. And what I found was that there's no secret formula. There's no magic recipe. It's a recipe, yes, but it's a recipe we all know. But it's really about being mentally stronger. It's about Zoom focusing on your top priorities every single day, committing to the process, and doing ordinary things with extraordinary consistency, commitment, focus, and positive energy. And there's about five other characteristics that I can't share now, but I'll share with you later.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I was talking to you this morning when I sent you that note. One of the things I run into in my business life is people get mad at me when I'm overwhelmingly positive in challenging situations, right? It's almost like, how come you're not sharing our misery with us, right? I'm like, well, you know, I can't change that, but I can change, you know, it has no effect on the way I'm feeling and what I'm doing, right?
Yeah. Well, so, I had a guy the other day on a flight. He was a flight attendant, and he's so positive. And I said to him, you are really positive. You know, what's your secret? He said, you know what the trouble with being positive is? You're surrounded by so many damn negative people. And I thought that was really funny, because in a sense that is a challenge of being positive, because about 80% of the population vibrates to a negative frequency, research shows, and about 20% vibrate to a positive. But I would tell those people that if you didn't have the 20% that are positive, literally the world would self-destruct from negative energy. I mean, that's what scientists say. It's that 20% that actually counteracts the 80%. And so you do need to stay positive, and we need people to overcome these challenges. And I often tell people, you know, what's your choice? Is it going to be negative or positive? And how you look at the situation will determine the outcome. There's no doubt about it. If we study history, everyone we admire, every success story, any person who's ever overcome, they weren't a pessimist. They were an optimist. And so what are you going to be? You have to be an optimist to be successful. Optimistic salespeople sell more. Positive work environments outperform negative work environments. The research is clear. And also, negativity costs companies $300 billion a year. So when I go speak to companies, I make the business case, I give them the numbers, and I explain why it pays to be positive. And so then there's no argument. You know, you don't have the negative folks in the back going, oh, you know, because everyone now realizes, you know what? What he's saying is true.
Yeah, and it's you can't be concerned about the negative feedback you get from people who, or frankly, they just... They're giving you negative feedback because you're pushing them out of their comfort zone. They find some sort of comfort in their cynicism, in their misery that you're pushing them out of. So you just got to ignore them and keep moving forward.
Yes, and you know, not everyone is going to get on your bus, and that's one of the rules of the energy bus. You know, not everyone will get on.
Right.
But you have to keep on driving, and your positive energy must be greater than their negativity. And leaders have to do that because we're always going to be surrounded by those negative folks. But I also think one of the best things you can do for the people who are negative is to not be annoyingly positive. Because there is a thing called annoying positive and also false positive.
Yeah.
The more loving you are, the more real you are, the more kind you are, the more authentic you are, and the more giving you are, then you model that kind of behavior for them. And now you're someone that they say, wow, I want to have what that person has.
Right.
But
right.
Remember, when you're real positive and not annoying positive, when you're like that, energy vampires don't like the light.
Yeah,
and that's what you're saying. They get uncomfortable. They don't like the light, so they'll either run from you, which is not such a bad thing, or you might be able to transform their darkness.
You'll think this is funny, but my teenage daughter calls my wife an energy vampire now.
Hey, I do this when my kids are. But like this morning, my son was so negative this morning. I say, look, Cole, I'm not going to let you get me down. I'm not going to let your dark cloud rain on my sunshine today. That's what I said to him. I said, you need to be positive. I'm not going to be negative or let you get me negative. And about 2 minutes later, he changed his tune.
Yeah.
Said, you're right, Dad. I'm going to be positive. So, you know, sometimes you just got to make him aware.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's 3 points I'd make. The first two concur with what you're saying, which is I've been involved in sales for a long time, and the underlying foundation for being a successful salesperson, regardless of what tips and techniques and tools and training
yeah.
you've had, the underlying foundation to go into sales is having a positive attitude and having a non-pessimistic outlook, because you're going to be dealt so many setbacks and so many people saying no to you that if you don't, you'll just get killed. You know, you'll never survive.
Yeah, you have to overcome rejection, right?
Yeah, and the second thing is, in terms of leadership, you know, I'm in management. I've been an executive for a few years, and it's absolutely one of the big pieces of leadership is picking a direction and going, you know, and having that positive attitude. People will resonate to that, right?
Oh, and definitely.
That it makes them more productive and more better to do their job, right?
Yeah, you have to share a positive vision for the road ahead. And when you do that and you are positive and you're enthusiastic, they're going to want to get on your bus, no doubt about it. That's a big thing. And one other thing to add to that I've recently been talking about to companies is trust is important too, though, from a leadership standpoint. It's not just about being positive. You have to have their trust, because people follow the leader first and the vision second. So if you have the trust and the support of your team, then they'll follow you. And now if you're positive, they're going to be excited about to go where you're going. So it's combined.
Yeah, and they have to respect you, too. You have to have a certain amount of credibility. You can't be a Pollyanna.
Right. Hey, we're going here. No, they respect you. You're positive. You're excited. You're enthusiastic. And I think that's the job of a leader, is to inspire the belief in their people. Because those folks may not see it. They may not believe it. They may not have the vision you have, because, you know, you're in the front seat. You're driving the bus. So if you have the best vision, it's up to you to be inspiring to them to make them want to follow you. And we see it all the time. I mean, Steve Jobs, we see it in great leaders. Ronald Reagan was like that. We see it in great quarterbacks, you know, and great leaders. So, I mean, the Patriots are a great example. I mean, Tom Brady, I mean, the guy just leads by example. He leads by being a great leader. He gets injured, and then the team starts to have a little bit of problems. It's not just his performance. They also miss his leadership.
Yeah, that's true. The third point I would make is that don't be afraid if you don't know how to do this, because most of it's learnable, and it's something you can condition yourself to. So if you're a naturally cynical, miserable person, you can work yourself out of that by practice.
No doubt about it. I did that in my own life. I mean, I actually am born a little more negative. We're all born with a happiness set point, so some of us are born happier than others. When I speak to audiences, I say, everyone who is born with a more of a happy disposition, give me a cheer. And then I say, if you're born with a negative disposition, grunt. And so you'll have some people in the audience, they'll grunt, will laugh. But it's true, we are born happier or in some ways more negative. But you can mold your brain, the latest research shows, to be more positive. And over the past 8-9 years of my own life, this is what I've worked to do. As I've been researching, I've been doing it myself, and what started me researching was that I was a pretty negative person, and I wanted to be more positive, and it really has made a huge difference in my life.
Yep, and one of the ways to do that is to cultivate your brain by reading stuff like the Energy Bus and listening to the audio and that sort of thing, just hanging around with positive people.
Yeah, it does. You know, latest research shows that emotions are contagious, and so when you're around positive people, literally, you pick up on their emotions. They are contagious. If you're in a negative work environment, those negative emotions start to seep into you, like through osmosis. If you're around negative people in your family, they start to seep in you. So it really is important to constantly surround yourself with reading positive books. I walk in the morning. Every morning I pray. That's one of the ways I get my positive energy, is through prayer. And then also I'm always listening to podcasts and inspirational stuff. I'm filling my life with positive energy. And when you fill the void with positive energy, the negativity has nowhere to go.
Yep.
So it's wherever you're filling up with. If you don't fill up with positive, now the void is there and negativity will fill it. Fill it with positive energy.
Yeah, and it's Pavlovian in a sense. You know, you just got to keep on it, because you will regress towards your set point if you don't work on it.
You will. Abraham Lincoln said a man or a woman is about as happy as they choose to be, and he's right. You know, great point. A year later, after lottery winners win the lottery and they're all happy, a year later, they go back to their set point if they don't do anything else. Even paraplegics, a year later after being depressed and down, will go back to their happiness set point.
Yep.
If they don't do anything to work and mold their brain.
Right. So the point being, you got to work at moving your set point in terms of your energy and your positiveness. And the other thing that makes it even more work is you have to move the set points of all the people around you in the process, which means you have to carry them a little bit.
True, but start with you first, because
right.
Even though it's important to share a message, you are the message. And I just hope people will read the Energy Bus. I hope they'll read the No Complaining Rule, because in these books there are actual, it's a story and a fable, and as you're learning through the interesting story, you're also picking up some tips and techniques in these books that will enhance it. And there's also an action plan at the back at the end of the story that you can follow to really cultivate. And if people do it, I've just gotten so many wonderful, thankful feedback from people saying, hey, we can tell in our company who's read the book and who hasn't. I mean, we really can. And we can tell, you know, who's on the bus and who isn't. I've spoken to a lot of school districts, same thing with teachers. We've done that. Now teachers are actually sharing a lot of the techniques with their students. And so it's a lot of fun.
So tell me a little bit about the No Complaining Rule. I haven't read that one yet.
When I was up with the Falcons, Mike Smith said, he's like, John, the coaches actually like No Complaining Rule better, and I was surprised. It's about a woman named Hope who is a big complainer and has become a big complainer because of the challenges she's faced in her life. And so she's at this company, and she's head of HR, and the CEO appoints her to transform their culture. They got a lot of big problems, some big crisis. You know, the book starts out with some crisis they're impacting, and they realize that their main problem is the negativity that their culture has really become ingrained with. So now they have to make some changes, and Hope discovers the No Complaining Rule at a hospital where she is going for tests, and the No Complaining Rule she then adapts to her company. And the rule is this: you're not allowed to mindlessly complain. If you have a complaint, take it to your manager or boss or someone who can do something about the problem, but also come with one or two possible solutions.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
instead of being a complainer griping on the bus, you become a passenger griping on the bus. And then there's three no complaining tools that I share in the book, and there's five things to do instead of complain. And those are some practical tips that people can do, as well as an organizational plan to bring this to your organization? Like, I'm speaking to several hospitals, several workplaces now, just on this concept of the no complaining rule to transform their culture. And it's based on a real company that was voted one of the best places to work, and they implemented this rule, and that's where I got the idea from. I knew the CEO. He told me that they were doing this. I said, that's a great idea, and it's transformed their culture.
That's awesome.
Yeah, very cool. Because, you know, it gets everyone to focus on solutions rather than complaints.
Yeah. Sure.
And then that leads to innovations and ideas. But for this rule to work, leadership has to say, we want your ideas.
Right.
We want to be open to hearing what you have to say. We want to consider your solutions. And now everyone becomes part of the team, and that transforms the culture.
Sure. And again, speaking as a manager, I don't want people coming to me and telling me all the reasons why stuff won't work.
Right. They know. Well, what do you? If you say to them, well, what do you think we should do? They'd probably just like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, before you come to me, you've got to have some ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you've got to. So, it's amazing how you stop people in their tracks. But you know, it's funny because you'll have some people that are like, okay, here's my list of complaints and here's my 10 solutions. You'll have that as well. So you have to have a process that works for you and your company to implement it. Not every company can do it the same way. You might have quarterly meetings. You might have a complaint box. You might even have a system set up via computer technology where people can submit it. Best Buy, for instance, just implemented a computer website for all employees to submit ideas on how to cut costs. Because right now they have to cut a lot of costs with the economy. So they put it in their employees' hands and said, how would you do this? And they're getting all sorts of ideas. And now the employees are part of the solution in the process.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's my challenge to you. I'll ask you to break your mindset, because I'm sure you could run a marathon if you wanted to.
Okay.
And it would be a transformational journey for you, just like it was for me when I was 34 when I ran my first marathon.
Okay.
And now I've got 10 Boston Marathons under my belt and
wow,
ultra marathon and triathlons and all this other stuff. So I found it very transformational, because the light bulb that went off for me was, well, wait a second, if I can do this that I never thought I could do, then what other assumptions am I making about myself and my abilities that are wrong? Right?
I agree with you 100%, but I have no desire to run a marathon. Give me another challenge. Oh, I believe there are challenges that I want to take on, but running a marathon, I have no desire.
All right, you do a triathlon. There
I admire here. Runners, but my good friend is a triathlete, Mike Ryan. He's the head trainer for the Jaguars, and this guy could just run and bike, and so he'll take me out bike riding. He'll take me out running. We'll run some cliffs and some hills and stuff, and I'll do that, and I love it. But I have no desire to train for a marathon. I admire all the people who do, though. My desire is, can I finish writing a book? Can I get this book in this time? That's where I focus my energy. I do play lacrosse with my kids, play basketball. I'm real active. I mean, I was an athlete in college. I played lacrosse at Cornell. So I was very active, and still am. Sports is a huge part of my life.
Beautiful part of the
country. Just not running.
Yeah. Well, you know, got to try.
No, I run every day, but like I said, 30 minutes tops, marathons. I admire those who can.
Well, I'll let you go.
And, okay.
Thank you for your...
Hope I didn't ruin my credibility on the podcast.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Get the hate mail down, right? No, I think your credibility comes from your message, John, and I would encourage everybody to read this, read the books. Because I definitely get a lot of positive influence in my business and personal life from them, including the running stuff.
I appreciate it.
So we'll let you go. And
thanks
you
so much
for coming on.
Thank you.
And have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Here's today's quick tips.
So John's an interesting guy, huh? I think he was truly embarrassed when he told me he didn't want to run a marathon. So anyhow, quick tip. Run a little short on time. So even though I'll tell you what I'll do, I'll give you back an entire hour this weekend. Saturday night, sleep in an extra hour on me. All right? Great. Hey, I'm running short on time here, so I'll keep my quick tip ultra quick for you. Here it is. Go volunteer for a race. Don't run it. Just call the race director. Pick up the phone. Call the race director. It's always on the website. And say, I want to help. Because there may be some race out there that's just one volunteer away from how we would say probably race fading away. And you could be that one to make a difference. Plus, you'll learn a ton by watching the mechanics of what it takes to put on a road race. So go volunteer for a race. Do it today. That's it, my friends. Episode 36 in the can. Thank you so much for lending me your earbuds. By the way, I've got a happy birthday to go out to my big brother Dave, who's 50 today. So I gave him an old pair of running shoes and a Bay State Marathon t-shirt. Long sleeve, very nice. Also, happy birthday to my brother-in-law Dan, who's married to my sister Jody. We'll beam some love in their direction. And my friend Amy is having her 40th this week, too. Don't worry, Amy, 40 is a really good year. And, drum roll please, my birthday is coming up on the 7th, so feel free to send money. I'll be just a little bit older than 29 this year. Happy Halloween. Have a great week. If you're up in Manchester on Sunday, search me out and say hi, and make sure you're kind when you pass me. Give me a nice pat on the back. It's not about the finishing times. It's about getting out there, so make sure you're working hard at staying positive. I've got some funky reggae from the PodSafe Music Network for you tonight. The song is called Creative Energy, and it's by an artist named Charlie Bobas. It's pretty funky. Have a great week, guys. Bye-bye.
Use your experience. Don't make your next lesson leave you in silence. Charlie Bobas has said, in life and persistence, use your life lessons. Improve yourself and your residence. Have patience. Creative energy flowing within you and me. Almighty light in the way is the only way you see. Seeking your life spiritual electricity. For guide to make your heart and your mind feel free. Creative energy, creative energy, creative energy. Creative energy flowing within you and me. Almighty light in the way is the only way I see. Seeking your life spiritual electricity. For guide to make your heart and your mind feel free. Creative energy to take the poor from poverty. We need the youth to open up their eyes to reality. Instead of segregation shining up progressively. Instead of building gangs with partnerships in industry. Start weeding out the seeds of hatred and jealousy. Putting ideas together working continuously. You're bound to get the best from the Almighty. Just forget the competition, use your creative energy. Creative energy flowing within you and me. Almighty light in the way is the only way I see. Seeking your life spiritual electricity. For guide them. Your heart and your mind feel free. Creative energy, creative energy, creative energy. You don't have to be a master technician. The instruction will make you understand. Almighty shine the light that will brighten up the plan. But you have to act, you have to be in action. If you don't, you might not last long. Like enough man, nowadays in the land, them in the dark. Always doing wrong. But creative energy flowing within you and me. Almighty light in the way is the only way you see. Seeking your life spiritual electricity. For guide to make your heart and your mind feel free. I don't to get light and want to turn on a switch. For this energy pray and believe it's accomplished. Or else you will continue stumble around in darkness. Every time get so close, wondering why you miss. Spoke up in an obstacle, falling at a pit. Remember action needed or you won't become relief. Action and prayer will make you deserving of it. Action and prayer will make you deserving of it. Creative energy flowing within you and me. Almighty light in the way is the only way you see. Seeking your life spiritual electricity. For guide to make your heart and your mind feel free. Creative energy, creative energy, creative energy. Creative energy flowing within you and me. Almighty light in the way is the only way I see. Seeking your life spiritual electricity. For guide to make your heart and your mind feel free. Creative energy. Creative energy.
Thanks for listening to the Run Run Live podcast. comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.